and think all should be better listeners, and that there should be more funding made available for mental health.
And
just to add to that, I think early intervention is crucial, and so it's a question of educating people to come forward when they're experiencing these mental health difficulties. I think Paddy's idea is fantastic about having parity in our schools between mental health education and physical education. And so I think that the whole society could really do a lot better on this as people come forward and as people suffer.
I know you both want to come back in, but Michael, do you want a word on this first?
Yeah, just quickly. I mean, why is there such a mental health problem, and why is there an increase in suicides today? Well, it's everybody getting stressed out with bills and more charges and levies and fees and taxes. Nobody has the same time for each other anymore. People are being driven out of their homes into hotels and B&Bs with repossessions and evictions. And I'm glad to say that I'm helping people to stay in their homes by fighting with them in the courts and saving them from their houses from being repossessed and them evicted. I agree with more funds to be made available for voluntary organisations, mm-hmm. such as the Samaritans and Pieta House, which do fantastic work.
Frank McBurtie, finally, briefly.
Well, the Donegal Roadshow concerning road safety, I mean, that's what I try to do with the SAM conference, and Kathleen Lynch, the Minister for Mental Health, I mean, I begged her at the conference to roll out the SAM conference all over Ireland, similar to what Donegal County Council is doing in the roadshow, because that would bring away the stigma away from mental health.
And in fairness, I was just going to give them a little bit of credit. In fairness, they've been doing quite a lot of work in that. But finish your point, go ahead.
But the point I'm saying is, if you rolled out the SAM conference all over Ireland, sport, aid and mental health, then you would have the same similar type of roadshow that Donegal County Council does on a yearly basis. A roadshow that got a national award there this year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be highlighting this nationally in every community right across the country, and take away the taboo of being embarrassed about having a mental health issue. In four families, it's far greater than one in four families.
Okay, Pádraig McLaughlin.
The final point briefly is just around, we need to deal with the issue of drugs and addiction. Often there's a dual issue there. There's a mental health and a drugs and addiction. Drugs and alcohol addiction issue. So we need to make sure that when people present with those addictions, that we're also looking at the underlying problems. There's big challenges there.
The problem, some would say, and we've had a lot of comments on this, as it relates to drugs, is about crime and enforcement. And we've seen some work by the Gardaí on that recently. Heroin's on the streets. Anyone who thinks it isn't would be in complete denial. I can start round this way, if you like. What's your view, Pat the Cope Gallagher? Some people would say that it was your party that really started the reduction in Garda numbers, the Garda stations, that, you know, you're somewhat responsible. Would you take any responsibility? And what would you do to address it to the future? Would you reopen the stations in Donegal, for instance, if you had your will?
Well, there are a number of stations that haven't closed, and they still don't have Garda numbers there on a 7x24 basis. I think we need to look at that. And I think while the stations are open, there may not be a Garda there all the time, but by the same token, it's a deterrent to many people while they know that there can be. But once stations closes, and of course young people now with texts and all of this, they can contact each other. They know where guard they are. They know where they can go speeding. So I think we must be much more vigilant.
Well, how many extra guardy do you think then we need in Donegal, and would your party deliver them?
Well, I don't know how many exactly we'd need in Donegal, but we intend to increase the guard numbers.
Some would point to that not maybe taking this issue very, very seriously.
Did me not take it?
No, I'm just arguing. Some might say if you don't have a figure how many extra guardy we would need.
Well, that would be, I mean, that's not a matter for a politician to say. That's a matter for the Garda authorities and the chief state or the chief superintendent, who would do that by way of communicating with them. It's not a matter for
is
us.
Because I thought they made decisions. That's
well, we would
now
say we'll go to 15,000, but then Donegal would have to receive a fair and equitable, or maybe discriminate positively in favour of Donegal.
I'll put the same question to you. Maybe it's an unreasonable question. Do you have a figure that?
There was 90 Garda that were cut from the across the, as you know, on the Sinn Féin justice spokesperson. chairperson have been raising this issue for years around, you know, because we're speaking, I think most of us here speak to Gardaí, they're in our community, and they're telling us that we don't have enough personnel, we don't have enough cars to do the job to protect our communities. If you look at Donegal, the Glenties district was scrapped. They amalgamated it with Milford in the north and Ballyshannon in the south. They closed, I think, five or six Garda stations across the county, and they cut Garda numbers. Now, if you look at a county which is very, very rural, but it also interfaces with large urban areas in the six counties, particularly Derry City, you know, that has to be reversed. Now, what we're saying is that, these are fully costed plans, that we would recruit 3,000 additional Gardaí over the next 5 years, and then Donegal, that would return the Garda numbers to where they were.
OK, we might go anti-clockwise then on this issue.
I want to bring up an issue. Over 7 years ago, and you know this yourself, Greg, Kerrigan's post office was robbed, and there was two members of Garda Síochána on duty. So there's a huge problem from Kerrigan's right through to Pettigo on Garda numbers, and Padraig is right. The numbers of Garda Síochána that are not in Donegal anymore. The example is Kerrigan's used to have over 40 guards in the station, and the population from Donegal, Derry, Tyrone, right through to Fermanagh, right into Leitrim, right into Bundoran, as a population of almost 500,000 people. So the next government, whoever they are, have to give a commitment that they will put the amount of guards that are necessarily needed along the border in particular, because it is very evident that the pulse system needs to be radically changed, because the pulse system only records what is put on it but can't be taken off it. And everyone knows my opinion. The whole justice system and Garda Síochána in general has to be reformed.
When you talk of the pulse system, then, are you saying that the crime, the statistics are skewed?
They're not accurate.
Okay.
And Padraig would probably agree with me on that point.
He's nodding.
The issue here is that the border crime that we have to deal with, and cooperation between the PSNI and Garda Síochána, are not at the levels that they should be.
Okay, Michael Mooney?
Yes, how do we tackle crime and policing? Well, if we get rid of the political policing, okay, on Garda numbers, if we want to maintain numbers of 12,000 and their average lifespan is 30 years, well, we need to be having 400 Gardaí going through Temple Moor each year, and if it's 15,000, we need to be training 500 guards each year to last the 30 years. But what I have witnessed regarding political policing in the last year and a half, the number of Gardaí that are available for Irish Water and them installing meters is absolutely scandalous. It's a private company doing the work, and these Gardaí are protecting them. Also, an indicator.
But did you not just say that? You've answered your own point there. They're protecting them.
Why do they need protection? If I haven't signed up to Irish Water, I do not want a meter.
Can I give
you
an example? Recently, a texter actually went to the bother of photo cutting it and sending it in. You mentioned, I don't know what minister it was up in the county, whoever it was.
Leo
Varadkar, was it? No, I'll tell you what it was. Joe McHugh was videoing. A camera crew was following him, and he says, let's get out there and ruin his day. Okay.
Who said that?
You did. Someone sent that in anyway. I look for it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But you probably would endorse that to go out and ruffle his feathers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then,
he's not going to come out and meet me at an Irish Water meter and see all the substandard work.
If you wait till I finish the question, you'll realise it's not a personal attack. What I'm trying to say is, though, then, do you not need, if that's the what people are endorsing, do you not need then the police to protect the likes of...
We had an agreement. If you signed up to Irish Water and you wanted a water meter, you got one and you left the rest of us alone. You had to sign a declaration to become a customer of Irish Water. So if you wanted a water meter, you signed up and you got it and you'll pay the bills in the end. But also on political policing, Enda Kenny came to the McGill Summer School last summer, and there was about 150 peaceful protesters there, and he had about 70 security personnel and a helicopter on his visit. And also, I went to the courthouse to support people that were facing eviction. On a quiet Monday afternoon in November, there was two Gardaí in the courthouse in the morning. There was no trouble. Mm. The court case, we had smart guys in the court, and we were making complaints about criminal activity going on in the court. It was adjourned at 12:45, and at 3 o'clock, there was 10 to 12 Gardaí in the courthouse to intimidate us, and there was no trouble.
Nate Kennedy?
Yeah, okay. There's more than one in four Donegal households consists of a single person. that they're living alone. And that's very worrying for someone that is isolated. And even we find that ourselves as we're out canvassing now at night. When you're knocking on doors, people are very, very afraid to open the door. And that's very reasonable and understandable why. I mean, I talked to a man just yesterday who had his house burgled, I don't know, many a times. He was out for 1 hour.
More Garda, you want?
More.
Stations reopened?
The stations are closed. Some of them are actually sold now, which is terribly disappointing, and it shouldn't have been. For the amount of money that is saved, it's ridiculous, really and truly. But it's more people, it's more Gardaí on the street, it's more Gardaí for the older people to get to know. That link is gone now. The communication between your Garda station and your old, your culture people, it's just not there. And that's an awful pity, and we need to know the names of the Gardaí.
I'll come to you now, Tim, just while we are going around in this direction, Paddy Hart.
Yeah, I'm not happy with it either, especially for older people, and we've all witnessed it going out at night. We need a stronger Garda presence, and we need more numbers, but and I'm going to agree with Park at this one, more cars, more technology, more ability to get to A to B.
Tim, sorry, do you want to finish, Paddy? I'm conscious that you haven't actually spoken about it.
I'm not saying Garda reformed it enough, Paddy.
I just finished my point. We're in a border county, and we probably need, as Pat the Cope says, we probably need positive discrimination in our favour. But your original question was about drugs, and I think we need to tackle many of the root causes that result in young people getting heavily involved in drugs.
There's no deterrent, Paddy, because the drugs unit's been disbanded in Donegal. So, if you look at the drugs cases, it is the people that are in court. It's not the peddlers or the dealers.
There are two parts to this. Mm-hmm. There is a deterrent for the practice of it, but more fundamentally are the root causes of it. And I can see devastation in both communities that I've worked with in Northern Ireland and in the Republic, how that plays out. I sit on a board where we've negotiated $29 million from the governments to look at youth development programs to get in close to the young people who are affected by drugs.
Tim Jackson.
Greg, I suppose I've been shocked, to be honest, at some of the fear that's out there, particularly among the elderly community, and it's something that has to be prioritised when whoever is elected and whoever forms the government, because it's unfair to these people to leave them living in such fear. But also what I would say is that it's indirectly costing lives on our roads when there's not enough of a Garda presence to deter speeding. And we've seen it in this county that there's devastation caused in so many towns.
There's a very clear link between sports and health. I think we should be investing more in sports and our walkways and our waterways to allow young people to become more involved.
That's the positive mental health aspect of it you're going back to.
But I will make the one point, and don't get me wrong, it's a political one. When we had a Minister for Tourism and Sport in this county, I mean, the amount of developments that have taken place when James McDade was there, and it's a fact.
I mean, is that a good thing? Is that the way we want things?
Well, of course, when we look around
but we've been disadvantaged by ministers looking after their own areas down the country. So, I mean, is that really something that you should be
flag-waving
about?
Aren't we fortunate that James McDade did it at the time? From Arnmore to Lifford and from Malinhead to Bundoran, he invested hugely in infrastructure development of sport. And we want more of that if it's possible.
I'll come back to you.
Donegal County Council also invested. $10 million. Okay. And Aura Centre, over $3 million, and the youth centre in Clun Valley. So it's just not the minister invested the money. Donegal County Council invested the money.
They had to put up their match funding. And then I'll come back to you, Park, and then Niamh.
Yeah, well, I agree with part of the role of sport. It's a personal passion. As I said earlier, I know from working on some of the most disadvantaged communities in Northern Ireland just how devastating it is for young people unless there are early interventions. And it's been one of the things that I've worked hard to get $29 million to use innovative programs to try and get in close to the young people before they become involved in drugs.
I want to come back to you, Porga, and sort of broaden out the question, and then we'll go around the table again on that. But Niamh, if you wanted to come just finally on this one specifically.
Yeah, please. It's on early intervention, and it's with regard to drug and alcohol abuse. I know of a couple of women that do a lot of work in local schools. They work from the national school level up, last year in national school and first year in secondary school. And they are funded through the Alcohol Forum, and they get no money. And here we are as councillors and as local representatives giving the money in order for them to teach our children the difference between right and wrong and to encourage them to deal with sensibly taking consuming alcohol and drug abuse is a highlight we have to deal with.
I just want to more wider point.
I've been appointed to the Northwest Drug Task Force as part of the Northwestern Regional Assembly. I have to be honest, the input at national level is not there. Funding, I have to agree with Niamh on this, early intervention. I come from a nightclub background. I've seen things in London and Glasgow when I worked in nightclubs. And I see it in Letterkenny. I see it in every town and village. I'm on a board of management at a school, which I can't go into. And we have a huge problem. The Drugs Task Force within Garda Síochána should be reinstated immediately by whatever government's in place. Because, but they also, the services of addiction and the support of those services has to be a top priority for the HSE and whoever is in government.
Okay, Deputy McLaughlin, I know you wanted to come back in there, but given your mandate, given your position as a justice spokesperson, you all think Gardaí, we need more Gardaí, but when you do see the abuse that they get on social media and YouTube with cameras pointed in their faces and stuff, when they're arguably doing their job, when you do see the level of pay far below, I would imagine, the industrial wage, which is a bar that Sinn Féin sets themselves, who would apply for these jobs to hire Gardaí at the rates and conditions they'd be asked to work in?
Well, there's no issue in terms of Sinn Féin policy for Gardaí and their pay. It would be, you know, at Gardaí commissioner level would be the only person to be concerned. But, I mean, what you have is, if you look at the morale in Garda Síochána, and touches on the point that Frank made earlier, there has been a complete failure are a significant failure in the management of An Garda Síochána in terms of the structures of the organisation. You know, you see that in the Garda Inspectorate reports where, you know, the penalty points scandals have revealed that, where, you know, where it is, it has been a police service that hasn't been fit for purpose. Now, if the Garda Inspectorate recommendations were implemented, you know, that would be a big difference. I want to, if you don't mind, Greg, I'd like to just touch on this issue. So we're talking about rural areas and so on. I've been TD for Donegal North East the last 5 years, and the Milford area, I've been representing, that's that area, you know, obviously Churchill, Glenswilly, Kilmacrenan, Termon, Milford, Remelton, the two peninsulas, Fannet and Roskill. I think the heart has been ripped out of it, and I'd like to have a bit of a discussion just around the plans to redevelop rural areas. I mean, in terms of broadband, in terms of cooperatives, farming, fishing. I mean, this is a massive issue in Donegal, particularly Milford, for me, has been absolutely devastated.
Do you believe there's a policy, then, to depopulate rural Ireland? Because many people say, even if you look at how their land is designated and certain planning, there is a sense that there is, and I'll give the everyone a chance on this, that there is a plan to depopulate Ireland,
the anger around the Remelton nursing unit was this sense that, I mean, if you take that area, you know, the two peninsulas, you know, you can see it, you know, fantastic people, great community groups, the sporting organisations, they're all there, but you can see that there's this sort of thing about centralising everything to Letterkenny. Now, Letterkenny is a great town. It's a gateway for this county. But you have to have services in rural areas. Now, the top priority, as far as I'm concerned, is broadband. You have to roll out fibre optic broadband. Right now, 52% of houses in this county are waiting on this national broadband plan. 52%. So how are you supposed to develop economic balance? How are you supposed to get small businesses?
When will you have, if in government, when will you have this 52% with broadband? Because it's greater than that, as we talked about last night. The 48% that have broadband, most of those, or many of those, if you live outside of town, don't actually have what would be classed internationally as broadband.
What Sinn Féin called for was, in the tender documents around this broadband plan, to prioritise the areas that needed the most first. So in Donegal, the blind spots, which are right across this county, that they would be targeted first, that maybe the first areas to roll out. It's 100 megabytes per second. I mean, if we're serious about keeping people in rural areas, we're also talking about children and our education. In the modern world, I mean, I believe broadband is almost as important as electrification was all of those years ago.
Okay, let's go around the table then, in this Tim, and I'll give you a good go at the end. We'll go around in anti-clockwise when I suppose it's most convenient. The depopulation or the what's Deputy McLaughlin's talking about. How do you think the people of rural Ireland are being treated?
As a public representative, all politics is local. And I mean, the famous Tip O'Neill said that in many speeches. Infrastructure is key, and broadband, Padraig's right, broadband is key. You have the Kelvin line coming across at Lifford Bridge. You have the Kelvin line coming across at Bridge End. And the only companies that are in it are the Letterkenny companies. So what was the point in bringing those lines across at those two junctures? The infrastructure of funding for the M13, M14, M15 and the M56 should be prioritised because the A5 is stuck in a public inquiry. We should now be spending the money in those projects so when the A5 does come about, we're ready to move straight into the A5 and get to Dublin in 2 hours from East Donegal and 3 hours from other parts of Donegal, such as where Pat the Cope and where my granny's from in Burton Port, where you can go to Dublin in 3 hours. This is what government should be committing to. Committing to the infrastructure needs of Donegal, which will attract the businesses into this county, in particular, will help the small, medium enterprises.
Okay.
But also, the rate system, which has been promised by many governments to be ratified and changed, there needs to be a two-tier rate system introduced to this county. Now, I'm 7 years in the council.
What does that mean, though? What's two rates?
Well, two rates. The small business should be on a different rate to the bigger business. If we reduce rates by 1% in Donegal County Council, as you already know, Greg, you've been at many budget meetings, it only benefits the 20 top companies in Donegal, really. Well, if we had a two-tier rate system, we could benefit small, medium enterprises a lot more, where they'd be paying a lot less, and we could increase the higher rate for the higher business, like the ESB companies and the bigger companies,
yes,
that have huge incomes coming into their industry on a daily basis,
okay,
on a yearly basis.
Tim Jackson, you know, I'll let you talk about it generally, but maybe you also want to talk to the fact that we talk about attracting people here and getting out of here. I mean, you also have to have a standard of life and services actually living here.
You do indeed.
What's your general view on the whole thing?
To be quite honest, my greatest worry is that if we had the Sinn Féin policies, tax policies in particular, implemented in this country, that we would deter wealth creators from coming here. Investors in this country will not be as attracted if they're paying that marginal rate of tax that Sinn Féin is suggesting, and that there will cause even more jobs to be lost. It will cause people who are living... It will cause our families. Patrick, can I finish, please?
Yeah, go on, finish.
It'll cause our family members who are living on the other side of the world not to find Ireland as attractive to move back to. And that, there, to me, is a very damaging precedent to set. And so, obviously, the key to unlocking the potential of this county is to build good roads to it and in it, to provide the broadband that's necessary, but make sure that you make this country as attractive as possible to the wealth creators who we want to live here.
Just one question on that. I have immigrated.
That's right.
10 years across the water, my father's 20 years across
the
water.
Frank, what has that got to do with
it? Allow me away out of the country.
Frank, let me tell you the reality, the vast majority of our people were forced to immigrate.
One at a time, please, at the very least.
During the 80s, when the first recession hit this country, tell me what your experience is of a recession.
Can we just...
My experience... Well,
if you wish to answer, but answer the question, because there's other people who want to get in on this, please.
My experience...
Just a 10-second answer, please.
My experience of a recession is suffering a situation where you couldn't find a job in this country and that you had to emigrate, and that there is not good enough. And so what I'm suggesting is everyone join together in goodwill and try and provide solutions and not backbite.
Well, you're criticising everyone.
Well, you've attacked Sinn Féin twice, actually. The vast majority... I'm going to say this. The vast majority of young people who are forced to emigrate, who are in Australia and Canada and Britain and all over the world, are not earning more than €100,000 per year. We want to build policies,
Australia.
A fair society in Sinn Féin that brings those back, with all due respect.
Okay. Now, I'm going to need to come to you as well, and Paddy and Michael, on this. I'll just go around. Everyone will get as long as they want within reason.
Rural Ireland, I would describe it as the road in the sky. We must provide high-speed rural broadband to all of Donegal by 2017. It's not good enough at the moment. I was in St Johnstone the other day, and the resource centre told me they can't develop that can't develop because they don't have high speed. The other one, I believe there should be a statutory requirement on all mobile phone companies to ensure that the service is available right throughout the country. Then there's the other one, is the rates. The rates is a major issue. I went through 15 counties about 2 years ago, and the heart was out of every town in rural Ireland. But we're talking of Donegal, and I think there has to be a system of determining the liability for rates. It cannot be linked anymore to the square footage. It should be linked by ability to pay, and that's vitally important.
What about, we're talking about Donegal. Income, not gross income,
net income. Net income. Of course, you can have a gross income and make a very little net profit.
Now,
the other one is this: the A5 is absolutely essential, and the road from here to Lifford, we don't have to wait on any inquiries in Northern Ireland to be able to proceed with that. We look at what's happening on the N56. I have no problem with that. And finally, let's not
be negative.
Let's not be negative all the time.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying, we have an airport in West Donegal that I played an integral part in, with others, of course, and it's vitally important to the development. Well, we all did, Paddy.
There's a lot of people believe it's failing because it's not failing. Well, 28 flights in December and January, does that mean that I shouldn't have an airport there? Does that mean that I shouldn't have spent my life trying to invest and have people invest in the Donegal airport?
It's great for us, and it's helping to develop West Donegal and will in the future.
I'm glad you agree with me, Pat, that you have to invest from West Donegal to East Donegal to get to Dublin quicker.
Paddy Hart, please.
I spent a good part of my working life.
Take a couple of minutes, by the way.
Yes, I will.
I don't say to you, Niamh, as well.
Yes, for working rural development, I worked very hard to secure 200 million into Donegal.
I would have got
as well paid for it if I had done nothing, but I chose not to do nothing. I worked very hard for my county.
I made sure
a significant amount of money went to Rafoe, as well as 75% of that money went into rural communities, because I believe that big towns like Letterkenny will by and large look after themselves. They're really important because they're an engine for the economy here. But what an elected representative needs to do is have balanced development and to make sure that what comes to Donegal gets into the communities, because communities are the lifeblood. Corrick, don't interrupt me.
I'd like to respond in a second.
Well, we may talk about Greece and your relationship with the Greek economy.
Well, I'd like to respond in a second. Is that okay?
So 75% of the money went into rural communities. I worked very hard with them, and I am delighted that many of the people that I work with are now friends of mine. In terms of tax, I'm inclined to agree with Tim. I believe in a healthy balance between investment and taxation. I have two boys abroad, and now I want them to come home. I want this to be a county that will attract them home. That's my fundamental reason for being.
Is that achievable in the medium term, or are we so far behind that you don't want people taking a loss to come home either?
Well, that's right. There's
I don't know what your children are doing, by the way. I'm just putting that generally out there.
They're doing what a lot of our kids are doing abroad. They're getting skilled up to come home. Yeah. They'll be very good when they come home. I'll just finish the two big ticket items. Are the A5 and broadband. Now, a lot of people have talked about broadband. I worked on a community broadband scheme. I know how difficult it is. I mean, I know in London, there are places in the city of London that can't get 100 meg. I heard someone speak last night about having fiber.
People are not interested in 100 meg. They'll take 20, 10,
Yeah. But someone said that everyone should have 100 meg. I heard last night talking about fiber optics into every home. Not in a million years.
Fiber optics into every home. We were able to deliver electrification. Hold on, you've had about four minutes there to speak.
Go ahead.
I will finish.
Very briefly.
You said two, and I've taken a little bit more. The solutions are in 4G, 5G, and Waymax.
Okay.
Not in favour of
it. I was actually going to interrupt you. Just say this, Paddy, right?
Just very briefly, because you want to go to the
I've known your work for many years, and you're seen as a decent spot across Donegal, okay? And you've worked with communities across Donegal. But here's the problem. You're standing for Fine Gael, and Fine Gael has devastated the people of this county over the last 5 years. The anger on the doorstep at your party is palpable. It's palpable, Paddy.
I wouldn't be going in.
That's the difficulty.
I wouldn't be going in.
If you're standing as an independent, everything you're saying is valid.
Okay,
you're
leave
Councillor
McBurtie, please, Niamh.
70% of people employed in this country are employed by SMEs. We've got to remember that for a start off. They're paying 12.5% of a corporation tax. Now, the multinationals, the Googles and all of that, I think they're paying is under 2%. Of a corporation tax. I mean, that is totally and utterly unfair. Rural Ireland has been decimated. We need village enhancement, we need renewal, we need the broadband and we need the mobile phone coverage. We also need to have our people come back home that have emigrated and our children to go to school locally without our schools closing down, without our post offices and our Garda stations closing. We need to focus on it and we need to bring jobs back in. We need to bring in our tourism, which is a huge part, and our fishery needs to be developed again. We need to look at all of that. And I think our farming and our fishery, our local produce, you know, our local markets, our local
But you have to
shops.
Improve. You have to improve the environment for them to work in, for them to be able to grow and to stay.
We need to bring them home, and we need to, as Pat says, yes, rates need to be reduced. We need to get the main streets up and running again. We need revitalisation into the centres of our towns and villages without a shadow of a doubt. Plus the fact we need to be talking to the likes of Antashka, Parks and Wildlife, and people to get some reasoning behind planning applications and zonings that where people can come home, build a home, and rear their children in rural Ireland.
Michael hasn't a word on this, Frank, and then I'll come to you.
We've got to go, man, first.
Okay, yeah. Michael.
I want to say that I believe the biggest driver behind the broadband is the smart meters that are installed with the water meters. Nobody's telling us anything about it, but that is a driver. And the next thing we'll have smart meters on are electric meters. The infrastructure, how can we improve the infrastructure if we're throwing all our motor tax money into Irish water to do some standard work on our footpaths, and they're actually destroying our footpaths
the,
and destroying
Irish
our
water
network.
Money that if we were to save, you know, it's not going to cover everything that you talk of, though.
No, but they're destroying what they are spending. It is substandard work. The next time we have a big frost here in this country, these joints are all going to pop. Nobody will sign off on it. I've been asking people over and over again. And this thing about shutting down our villages, our post offices, our Garda stations and our community hospitals, Dr. Tom Murray from the Melton Hospital says himself, not only does it have a negative impact on the community, but it also has a negative impact on the patients.
So you're saying we should be spending money taking chemicals out of the water in our water supply here, indeed in Donegal, and some of them that are linked to cancer causing or have cancer causing qualities.
Absolutely. The money that they have spent so far is only paying for wages of people working in with Irish Water and subcontracted to them, and it's no improvement to our water quality. In fact, I have a document here today, and it says 17 water treatment plants have been found guilty of delivering cancer-causing toxic chemicals, THMs, into drinking water supplies in a substantial number of households in Donegal, and total of about 400,000 in Ireland. And four of these plants are in Letterkenny. And the EPA and the County Council and Irish Water are complicit in all of this, and they're not telling people.
Well, they're telling people it'll be gone by 2021.
It's happening. Cancer-causing toxins are found in the water today.
I know, but I'm just saying that you said it was being ignored. Finally,
I have a question for Niamh. Did you sit on an SPC last week with John O'Donnell chairing the meeting?
I did. And
what do you call it? That shows that you're not prepared to fight against corruption. And secondly, a question for Paddy. Your director of elections, and I have this from Fine Gael sources, stated the following. They are like hens picking at straw. Pay no attention, keep your head down, and in the month of March, it will be someone else's problem.
But who said
that's
that?
The community hospitals.
Who said
I
that?
Can't give out my source.
But
that came from a very, very reliable Fine Gael source.
But
now, I'm asking you, Niamh, are you prepared to stand up against corruption?
I have always stood
well,
against
why
corruption.
Did you not support
don't
my motion in Donegal County
like
Council?
Because I am sick no, of you speaking to people.
I'm one second.
Is she prepared to,
you but you can ask the question.
Against corruption. Is she prepared to stand up?
Do you want to respond to that without interruption? Excuse me, Councillor Burke. I understand that. I just want to give Councillor Kennedy. That's fair, well and good. You've made your point. You've made your point. He's made your point. You've made your point. Maybe you should direct those questions directly to him. Councillor Kennedy. Excuse me.
It came from the Director of Elections National.
Councillor Kennedy, can you do? Can I give you an opportunity to respond to that? Now, can let me just...
People of Donegal are not my
Councillor Kennedy, please. We'll come back to you. Councillor Kennedy.
Thank you. I have been sick and tired listening to Frank McBrady and others accusing me...
Without interruption, please. Without interruption.
She doesn't know the law,
without,
but the local
without interruption.
Excuse me,
you've
Frank.
Made a very, you've made a very... Excuse me, Councillor. You've made a very strong accusation.
You
I would
have,
like
actually.
To give Councillor Kennedy an opportunity to respond to it, if that's okay. Fine. Without interruption, if possible.
Innocent until proven guilty.
No, he's not.
We
what
one second, excuse me, Councillor, he is.
Sought,
he is.
Yes, he is. You should know, of all people, Frank McBrady, you should know about innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. Now, you should really watch what you say.
You supported him.
I did not support
him. Well, can I just say one thing? Councillor Kennedy backed a motion which said, let's allow due process. That's what Councillor Kennedy did.
Correct.
But that's what she did. No, I'm not getting into that.
I've challenged the
you can take that up with the Chief Executive. Okay.
It.
Well, that's where we have...
very advice on this.
Well, show it.
Okay, no. Just one second. Very finally, because we're losing the run of this now. Paddy Hart, do you know who the mole is? Do you know this mole?
I have no idea.
Do you believe it to be true?
I have no idea. None whatsoever.
Well,
thank you. You're substantiated.
It's come from very close sources.
Right, be that as it may. Okay, listen, we're going to leave it there. Just finally, maybe a brief reflection from each of you on your campaign so far. Deputy McLaughlin, the three candidate strategy, maybe Gary Doherty, it's, as well as not here, might be your biggest threat.
No.
I mean that purely in terms of numbers.
Gary's a pole-topping councillor. He's a brilliant candidate. Listen, I mean, Sinn Féin have been canvassing now for weeks and weeks before Christmas, indeed. The response has never been stronger, and we firmly believe that we can win three
two
seats.
Two or
in
three?
Donegal. No, three seats. We firmly believe we can win three seats in Donegal.
You've been a bit of a media darling. Has it cost you in your campaign? Do you think that maybe... there's a cohort of people out there that won't take you seriously between, you know, some of the viral ways you're going with it. Some, you know, you're looking for likes on your Facebook page to go on a date with someone. Has that damaged your campaign?
No. I was asked on a date, Greg. No, let's get it straight.
Can I just say, I'm not having a go. I'm just wondering, has it sort of maybe...
Absolutely not. I have to say, the amount of attacks I'm getting from left, right and centre, different party sources, is showing that people are scared of my campaign. I'm standing up to the political establishment, calling for reductions in political earnings because we're attracting the wrong people to power.
Okay.
And this is a chance for us to do the right thing, hire and fire on Friday.
Pat the Cope Gallagher, you're confident that come maybe Monday, hopefully not, but possibly Saturday, Sunday, that you'll be back in the Dáil. And ironically, it's going to cost... charity 70 grand a year.
Well, I was never one who was interested in money. And can I just say, from the first 6 years I was in the Dáil, at those days, there was no secretarial services, there was no cover for office. I put it all into that, and that's a fact. So I'm not particularly interested in that. It's not my nature. If I were interested in money, I wouldn't be running for the Dáil this time. And so the people will want to know what's happening. The minute, if I'm elected, then immediately all my pensions will be no longer
But they're
available.
Already going to... So you're donating them to charity, that's what I'm saying.
The net amount. But can I just say that we have a very clear strategy in this county between myself and Charlie McConnell. Look, here's the North East, minus Downings and Carrigart. I have the South West because we've lost Ballyshannon and Bundoran, and I've done a tremendous canvas with people. I can say categorically that both myself and the canvassers, we've visited 99% of the houses in the constituency.
Paddy Hart,
and I think I will be rewarded.
Are you Fine Gael light?
And I'm Fine Gael light?
Yes, in that you are Fine Gael, but you will regale against them if in power, and what happened in the past is not your fault, and
of course they know one should take responsibility for a decision.
Okay,
that
well you've explained that, but how's your campaign going then?
I'm forced at Donegal, man, first and foremost. Anywhere I've ever worked, they ultimately had to say that I put Donegal first. So in terms of of Fine Gael, I will put Donegal first.
Okay. Niamh Kennedy, any regrets coming out so heavy on the wind farm issue? I know we had you on today. Mm-hmm. You're claiming some success on that. It has to go before Ron Bowplanon, who knows what they will do.
Hopefully.
But, you know, talking about Antashka and Killybegs and windmills is a bit too... windmills, I beg your pardon. Wind turbines, is it a little bit too... specific?
No, I don't think so. I think there's an awful lot of communities out there very, very deeply affected by it, and we have to start listening to the people on the ground. And can I just go back to something here for 1 second? I'm sorry to bring this up. Frank McBrearty was the guy who wanted to have the Joint Policing Committee disbanded. He did not want it. Then he decided that he wanted to be the chair. Yeah, he wanted to be the chair of the Joint Policing Committee, and he threw the dummy out of the pram when he didn't get it. So just to clarify, I am standing as an independent woman, and I think that I can really bring an awful lot to the table in the Dáil.
Michael, you were late to the race, and Frank, you're going to have a chance to wrap up. You might want to use it to address that. Michael Mooney, you were late to the race. What's the reaction been to you like? I mean, what is your expectation?
It's been very good. I mean, nobody put my lights out about not running. So, I mean, I have this motto for everybody, that it is to wake up, to rise up, and to stand up, and to wise up, and to speak up. We've had 90 years of two main parties governing this country, and we're in this mess today. It's up to yourselves now if you want it to be 95 years or you go to the polls on Friday and you make the change between 7 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock at night for all right to water, a right to change candidates for a start. We have to change this. And a vote for myself is a vote for all the water charge protesters, the anti-eviction and repossession campaigners and the anti-corruption campaigners. And I ask all them for their number one vote on Friday.
I think he's stolen stand-up from you, Frank. You had that first. But
first of all, I have a track record in politics for the last 7 years. I've worked with everyone in Donegal County Council. And Niamh can give whatever digs she likes. I'm the only person in this room who's actually taken on the establishment and actually beat them. And if elected, I'm the only person capable of standing up to a government. And I challenge Niamh Kennedy to a debate anywhere she wants on any legal issue she wants to talk about. Because I show you my legal points of view concerning the points of view that you haven't made public.
Councillor McCarthy, that's something that if you can't get that resolved in the council, it maybe points to what the issue is. Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing how that pans out. All of you, thank you very, very much for joining us in these debates. We'll see how worthwhile they are. It's up to the public now to judge, but I presume everybody wishes that everyone that has a right to vote, has the ability to vote, gets out and does it. Okay, thank you very much. If you missed some of this, it'll be online a little later on. And of course, join us from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning from the Aura Leisure Centre, where we'll keep you up to date with exactly what's happening throughout the course of the weekend. Have a very good evening.